Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed for your time and attention this evening. My name's Andrew Coombs. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Sirius Real Estate. And Sirius Real Estate is the leading owner and operator of business parks and industrial complexes in Germany. We're listed on the London Stock Exchange and in South Africa on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and we're on the main markets of both those exchanges. We're also members of a number of indices, including the FTSE All Share, the EPRA European Indices, the South African Property Index, and the Morgan Stanley US Index. And of course, as you know, what that means is there are a number of institutions that are compelled to buy Sirius shares because they make public statements in terms of buying percentages of companies that are in those various different indices. The presentation I'm giving you this evening is based on our audited figures from September 2018, but actually some 6 months on, I'm pleased to tell you that our market capitalisation is actually 760 million euros, so substantially more than the 615 million pounds that's quoted on this slide. We have relatively low debt with a loan to value of 35%, so that's on assets of about 1.05 billion euros with a 35% loan to value. And we have a fully integrated operating platform in Germany consisting of 250 employees in 62 different locations. So Sirius is a specialist in out-of-town property. The majority of that property are business parks and light industrial centres. We operate only in Germany. We're listed in the UK and in South Africa. And if you look at the development of our net operating income over the last 10 or so years, what you can see is from March 2015, we've been in a growth phase. And in that growth phase, we've been successful in increasing our net operating incomes from some 30 million euros to a consensus forecast of about 75 million euros in the year ending March 19, i.e. last month. You can see that I joined the company in March 2010. I led the internalisation of the operating platform. Previously, the operating platform was privately owned. I led the internalisation of that, which I think is very important because it leads to the alignment of the interests of both the operating company, the fund, and the shareholders, of which I am one. So I invested in about 10 million shares in Sirius. It's my single biggest investment in my life. And as you can see, we went through that period of internalization, a restructuring phase up to March 14. And since then, we've been growing quite successfully in Germany. You can see that on the left, the majority of what we own, 60% of it, is traditional mixed use business parks. In Germany, these tend to be quite large, much larger than the business parks we'd be used to seeing here in the UK. And about 60% of our stock is that kind of 1930 type build, heavy manufacturing industrial parks in Germany. About another 30% is the more modern, what I term as post-unification, so built traditionally after 1991, light manufacturing type parks. And about 10% are office buildings on the outskirts of the seven major cities in Germany. So why is this so interesting? Well, firstly, it's interesting because this is a high yielding asset class. So we're not talking about a grade A listed building in the center of town that might be purchased for a yield of between 3.5% and 4%. We're talking about industrial parks in Germany that typically at the property level can be purchased for about 7.5%. We are accessing debt at the moment on 5 to 7 year terms for about 1.5%. And what we're doing is we're operating a loan to value of about 35%. So if you're buying at 7.5, borrowing at 1.5, then clearly you're looking at 6% in terms of the arbitrage. And if you're then putting a loan to value of about 35% of that, what you're actually doing is you're accessing real estate at about 9%. And if that real estate is 80% occupied rather than 100% occupied, in real terms, if you can fill it up, you've got an 11% net opportunity. And that's pretty unusual in real estate. You're not going to find that in many places in the world. The reason you find it in Germany is because in Germany, you can buy this kind of real estate at a highly discounted level. We are purchasing this at about one third of the replacement cost. That's the opportunity. But you can only realize that opportunity if you've got an operating platform. And Sirius has got the biggest and most sophisticated operating platform in this asset class in Germany. And that's where the advantage is. That's the fully integrated in-house management property platform. It means that we do all of our tenant sales with our own national sales force rather than through a dependence on agents. It means that 90% of our new tenant leads are generated through our own sales and marketing efforts. It means things like the reconciliation of costs, the running costs and utilities that we pass on to our customers are calculations and management that we actually do in-house. It means the purchasing of gas and electricity is something that we do with our own specialized teams. And I could go on, but the point is, this is an insourced model, not an outsourced model. And because it's insourced, it gives us speed to market, it gives us opportunities in terms of synergy, and most importantly, it gives us clear line of sight into the marketplace. So we are not dependent on a commercial agent who's talking to four or five other people and trying to explain why something is a good investment. We can see it's a good investment because we market directly to tenants. We do so much of what we do ourselves. We are not dependent on third parties to give us advice and tell us whether something is good or not. Now, the next two slides should be the really compelling financial slides, because what I'm talking to you about now is the property level rather than the company level. The next slide talks at the company level. But at property level, this shows you the way that we go out and buy real estate. So what you see on this slide is figures relating to the 23 assets that we have bought since January 2015 that were on the balance sheet for 1 year or more as at September of last year. So these have a weighted average time of ownership of 2.6 years. And when we underwrite an acquisition, what we're looking to do is double the equity that we put in a 5-year period. So unless an asset can do that, unless we believe that we've got a plan to make that happen, we don't buy it. But once we underwrite it on that basis, when we take it into our operating platform, the challenge is how we achieve that doubling of equity in a 3-year period rather than the 5-year period. And if you look at this slide here, what it illustrates is we invested 154 million euros of equity into these 23 assets when we went off and bought them at 312 million euros. And what's happened is in the time that we've owned them, that average weighted 2.6 years, they've generated 58.6 million euros of P&L profit. But we've needed to spend 14.2 million euros of capex in order to keep them running and in order to improve them. And in doing that, what's happened is we've improved the occupancy from 72% to 82%. But interestingly enough, we've improved the rent roll by double that amount. And the reason for that is that the rent roll increase has not just come from the occupancy increase, it's come from us renewing some of those existing customers in the 72% occupancy and renewing them at higher rates than they were previously paying. And then in addition to that, that 21% has been revalued. And because the occupancy has increased and because the rate has increased, and because most importantly, the recoverability of the services that we sell beyond the property, so the utilities and all the rest of the recoverable costs in the property, because that has improved as well, The valuation has gone up not by 10%, not by 21%, but by 32%. Because as a property becomes more occupied and the recoverability of costs beyond rents improves, there is a natural compression of the yield at which it is valued. So what that means is that we've taken our 154 million of equity and we've turned it into 142 million of profit in 2.6 years. So as you can see, we are well on track to double our equity within that three-year period. So at the property level, please understand that is what we are doing. And there are not many people or many asset classes that are capable beyond one or two assets. We own 60 assets. There are not many companies that are willing to do that or able to do that time and time and time again. Now we move from the property level to the company level. And what you see here is that from March 15, we've been delivering in excess of a 15% total shareholder return. Now, typically, that shareholder return is coming two-thirds from capital growth and one-third from dividend. So we typically distribute a circa 5% dividend. We actually have a policy whereby we distribute 65% of our free-flowing cash, our funds from operations, back to shareholders. The reason that we do that is, firstly, we are not a REIT, because REITs have to distribute 90%. Because we're not a REIT, we have this flexibility. But the reason we distribute 65 is because we retain the other 35 to invest in capital, or CapEx, into the properties, typically for a 30% return on investment, which in turn is why we can then get that 10% capital growth. So really interesting model, this. This is growth and capital gain. Most companies do one or the other. We're doing both, and we're doing both in a sustainable way. It's sustainable because of the platform that we've got in Germany and because of the way that we can drive that capital growth, and because we are in a market where we specialise in particularly high-yielding property. Because we're only distributing 65%, we are the most amazingly well-covered dividend. There are very few, if any, other companies in property that have a dividend that is 1.5 times covered, particularly when that dividend gives you a dividend per share yield of 5%. And we pay our dividend every 6 months, and we give our shareholders the opportunity to either take that dividend in cash or alternatively to actually take it in the form of additional shares. So we offer a thing called a scrip option, which means that you can choose whether you take your dividend in cash or alternatively whether you convert it into shares. In terms of your dividend, you have an option to take it in euros or you have an option to take it in pounds. So when it comes to dividend, there are three choices: scrip, euro, and of course, sterling. So we're quite flexible in terms of the dividend opportunity that we offer to shareholders. A couple of months ago, we announced a joint venture with AXA. As you probably know, AXA are one of the top three biggest insurance companies in the world. AXA Investment Managers have on their balance sheet over 160 billion euros of property across the world. AXA have selected Sirius as the company they wish to partner with in this asset class in Germany. That should tell you something about Sirius. So we have seeded 168 million euros of property into that joint venture. That's property that was at a book value of 140 million. We've sold it to AXA at 168 million. So already there has been a benefit to the transaction. We maintain a 35% interest in the joint venture, so we continue to participate in the equity uplift in the joint venture. And of course, we receive fees. On that 168 million of property, about 1.68 million euros of fees per year. And then beyond that, at the 5 and 10 year point, we effectively qualify for a performance fee potentially on top of that as well. So this is a very exciting development for Sirius. What it means is that we've grown our own portfolio to €1 billion, and we wish to continue to grow that further. But what we now have is we have diversification in terms of the capital that we have access to, because we have a joint venture partner in the form of AXA Investment Managers. We are unusual in as much as most people want to own property in Germany and not go anywhere near it. We have staff on our parks, typically 2 to 3 members of staff. The cost of those staff is paid for in the service charge reconciliation that we charge to our tenants. We have a centralised platform in Berlin of over 100 people. We seek to do as much as we can ourselves without outsourcing it, because we believe that is where our competitive advantage can be developed. That is very unusual for a property company. Normally, a property company wants to do property, not employ very many people, financially engineer stuff on balance sheets. What we actually want to do is we want to do that and get involved in physically changing the inside of the building, contributing capital so that we get a 30% return out of that transformation. We want to engage with our tenants. We want to provide additional services to the tenants. At the moment, what we provide in terms of additional services is meeting rooms, hot and cold food, concierge services, virtual offices, the ability to move around the estate in different cities and be able to work, you know, from alternative centres, even though you're a member of another centre. We provide IT services, telecommunications. We are not just a property company. This is property and services coming together to substantially improve the yield that you would expect off these kind of properties. And of course, we recycle assets. So I've just explained to you, we've taken €140 million of our assets and sold them for €168 million. In the last 3 years, we've sold over €300 million of assets at substantially more than book value. At the moment, we're valued at about 7.6% gross yield. We are typically selling our assets at 6%. So they're valued at 7.6, we're selling them at 6. That's because we asset manage well. It's because we take property, we asset manage it really, really well, we stabilise it, and then once it's stabilised, there is a good market for other people to buy it. And in many cases, those other people will continue to employ Sirius as the manager of that property for fees. So what we do is we get an uplift on our equity, but we still get fees for continuing to do the job once we've got our equity out. Gives you an idea of the kind of functions we've got. So in terms of marketing and sales inbound, we've got a team of about 15 people. We've got a national sales team of 72 people in over 60 locations. That means we don't have to use commercial agents. You've got a Sirius member of staff who believes in the company, who's got a structured sales process, who's measured, mystery shopped, paid commission. They're the people who deal with our customers. We don't let commercial agents talk to tenants and players off against 2 or 3 of our competitors. We're about higher returns, but we're about higher returns and low risk. So we're not going up the risk curve. We're not saying we're going to take a piece of land, build a brand new building, get you a spectacular return. What we're saying is that we are buying real estate that is 70% discounted to the new build cost. What we're doing is we're spending a little bit of capital on the inside of the building so that we can buy it at 70% discount and manage it up to about 50% discount. Still huge headroom in the difference between where we're getting in and the alternative of someone building something new. Those dynamics do not exist in many well-developed economies. They certainly don't exist in the UK. And that's the opportunity in this asset class. You can get a high return at a very low risk. So typically what we're doing is we're acquiring at about 7% with 20% vacancy. We're financing our new assets at about 50%. The overall portfolio is 35 because we hold some unencumbered assets in the portfolio to bring the loan to value ratio down. But when we get into an asset, it's normally at a 50% loan to value to start with. So you buy at 7, you've got 20% vacancy, 50%. So that's 7 is going to bring you up to about 8.5% once you fill the vacancy. And then, of course, when you finance it at 50, it's really like a 17% geared yield that you're actually buying. It's a very, very high opportunity. And it's the platform that Sirius has in Germany. It's that internalized platform together with the property that creates the big opportunity. If you have the property on your own and no platform, you're dependent on agents. If you have the platform, but it's the property's not on your balance sheet, you're giving the advantage away to someone else. You need both. This gives you an idea of where our centres are around Germany. So this is Berlin here, this is Munich here, and you can see the West region over there. So if you look at Frankfurt and Berlin, 40% of our properties are in those two cities. Now, I have known an awful lot about Germany, but Frankfurt is, you know, a big, big benefactor in terms of property at the moment. There are lots and lots of new leases going into the Frankfurt area. Vacancy is very, very low. Property is in extremely high demand. What we're experiencing is lots and lots of people are being priced out of the centre of town. They're hitting the edge of town, which is where Sirius is. And what we're able to do is we're able to take advantage of that tenant demand. Berlin is a massively repopulating emerging market. There are something like 500,000 new people coming to Berlin every year. There's a housing crisis in Berlin. There are over 80,000 desk jobs being created each year in Berlin. Berlin is probably the most vibrant city, certainly in Germany at the moment, if not probably Europe. Stuttgart and Cologne, we've got another 26% of our property. Munich, we'd love to have more, but we've sold in Munich recently because we think Munich is a market that is very much at its peak. And whilst we'd love to buy property at the right price, we've been selling down in Munich at the moment because we think that that's a place where we can pull some of our equity out and redeploy it into other areas. We are well diversified in terms of 60 assets, 600 buildings. We are spread well across Germany, and in particular, we are clustered around the seven major cities, which is where you want to be, because that's where you're going to make the most money out of property. I don't want to blind you too much with science on this slide. There's just one thing I want to draw your attention to, and please excuse me, because it's this area here. This 469 million of core mature at 7.6%. Now look, that 469 million is not the whole of our portfolio. It's 469 in just over a billion. It's about 46% of the portfolio. The other 54% are sites that we bought that are not mature yet. We're still bringing up the occupancy. We're still spending money on them. There's things that we can develop there to improve those. But that 469 is mature. Yeah, our equity is not going to work as hard going forward in those as it has done in the past. It's valued at 7.6% because it was last valued in September. Since September, we have sold assets at 6%. Since September, outside of what we've sold, over a billion euros of assets in the last 6 months has traded in this asset class in Germany at 6%. We are about to go through a new valuation. The reason I draw your attention to that is because if we went from 7.6 to 6.2% on that 469 million euros of assets, that would be a revaluation of probably somewhere in the region of about 80 million euros. That would put 7% on the net asset value of the company. And strangely enough, our share price today trades at 7% above the net asset value. Markets are funny things. But the important thing about that slide is showing you that core mature and the fact that it's valued today at what it was valued at last September. The market has moved on, and there is significant evidence, about 1.2 billion euros of evidence, that the market is at 6.2%, not 7.6. That is not applicable to our whole portfolio, but it is applicable to that 469 that you see as core mature there. This really is by no means a forecast. It's just an extrapolation to give you some idea of the opportunities in terms of the movements. So at the moment, we have 1.049 billion of property. It's actually at about 7.6%. If that was to contract to a yield of 6%, then you're talking about 300 million euros of uplift in value. If you come down to here and you say that we grew our rent roll from the 82 million of today to the 92 million that it's forecast to get to in the next 12 months, and the market contracted to 6%, that's 1.5 billion. That's a 50% uplift in value. Now, that's not going to happen because we're not going to get all of our immature properties to maturity within the next 12 months. But even if only half of that happens, it's pretty spectacular growth. And that's not dependent on, you know, the economy going well or financial engineering. What that's dependent on is us doing what we say we're going to do, which is to execute our plans of doubling our equity in a 3 to 5 year period. And value is recognizing the net operating income that this company is producing and the multiples that you would value that at. Again, don't blind you too much science here. This is now irrelevant because we've sold those 25 million of non-core sites. We sold them at above book value. The real number here to look at is the number that you see there. Suboptimal space. Suboptimal space means really horrible space. Space that most operators have just shut the doors and forget about it. You're talking about cellars that are maybe damp. You're talking about offices above warehouses, offices that have been empty for 30 years. With our internal marketing area, what we do is we test online before we even buy a site that we can get enough demand at the right price to be able to fill those kind of areas up. We call those areas suboptimal. That's where we invest our capex to get the 30% return. And what this slide's telling you is that we've already got 102,000 square meters of that space identified. We own it today. We have a plan over the next 3 years to invest 26 million euros capex, and there's your 30% return. So just by doing what we've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, we already own the properties. We've already got the access to the capital. We don't need to raise money to do this. We've got the capital already. By executing on that, you can uplift the rent roll of this company by 10%. And that's not a theoretical plan. That is a repeat of almost exactly the same exercise that we've done over the last 3 years. Here's the exercise of the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, what we've done is we've invested 20,908,000 and we've got a rent roll improvement of 11.5. By the way, we were forecasting to invest 23. We invested less than 23. We were forecasting to get 10.5. We got more than 10.5. How did we do it? We sold it at a better price to our tenants. Why can we do that? Because we've got our own national sales force that talks directly to the tenant and doesn't get compromised by someone who's saying you could buy from Sirius or you could buy from 6 or 7 other people. Let me show you around. And by the way, I'm going to charge you a commission for doing it. These are the sites that we own, that we bought in the last 2 or 3 years, where we have that suboptimal vacancy and we have that plan to invest the 30.8, 5.7 of which we've already done in order to get the 8.7. So these are not pipe dreams. These are very, very detailed plans down to site and building level that have been verified. You know, these are things that we talk to our shareholders about and we have been delivering for over 5 years. So come back to this slide. You've seen it before. 15% total shareholder return, guys. That's why this is my biggest investment. That's why when people say to me, you know, Andrew, you've been CEO for a long time, you know, blah, blah, you should diversify your risk, etc. I say, I don't want to diversify my risk. I'm running an organization with a team of very talented people. It produces the best return that I've ever got. And I believe that return can continue. And that is why my biggest investment is in the company that I'm running, Sirius. And if you feel that you're interested in investing, these are our brokers. That is our analyst forecast. So that is not a forecast from the company. That is the forecast from our analysts. And you can see to March 19, they're forecasting a 3.3 cent. These numbers are in cents. A 3.3 cent dividend per share, rising to 3.5 next year and 3.6 year after. We have never failed to meet a consensus. Thank you very much indeed for your attention. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Could I ask, right at the moment, it appears that Germany maybe is having two or three periods of downward pressure on their economy. So the rumour is they're going into recession. Are you a little bit worried about that or not at all?
So we're always prepared for German recession. I operated this company through the last recession. But before I talk about that, let's just talk about Germany for a second. The biggest pressure on Germany at the moment is China. Okay, reducing China, or Chinese reducing growth. But what many people don't realise is China's growth at the moment is 6.2%. That's still huge, but it is reducing. And that is the biggest pressure on Germany. And that reduction in growth for China falls into two areas. It affects the car manufacturing end of Germany a little bit. But what it affects more is Germany make most of the machines that people like China use to manufacture things. So it's really the slowdown in Chinese manufacture that affects Germany. But what's quite interesting about the way that Germany controls this, and this happened in the last recession, is if you think about the way a German factory works, it's very different from a UK factory. So it doesn't matter whether I'm talking about GKN or, you know, Daimler Mercedes or Porsche or any of the rest of our big customers. They will typically hire space from us and work a continental shift pattern of 3 8-hour shifts in every 24. And in the last recession, what happened is the government in Germany passed a law. It's effectively an Arbeit subsidy, whereby the government, to convince German manufacturers not to lay people off in a recession, the government can take subsidies to send workers home and end up running 1 or 2 8-hour shifts instead of 3. What that enables the German economy to do is effectively subsidise the economy to be switched off for a while. And when they want to switch it back on, they just withdraw the Arbeit subsidy and factories go from 1 shift to 3 shift and GDP just goes through the roof. And that's what you saw last time. The fact is there will be a recession in Germany at some point. What we do is we have three customer segments. Our large customers, our top 100 customers, in something around about 4,000 tenants. We know that they will need the same space, they'll just utilise it less. We have the SMEs, which we know are the people who will suffer in a recession. And we have what we call our micro SMEs, which are about 7% of our business. They pay a premium for the space that they use and the flexibility they get. Our plan for the next recession is to be able to help the SMEs by allowing some of them out of their leases, allowing them to downsize at the beginning of the recession, because what we know is we can get them to pay us what we call a surrender premium on their lease, which we can use to invest and convert smaller compartments of space to deal with the micro SMEs. The micro SMEs at the moment are the people that give us our highest margin. They're 7% of our overall area. We can expand them up to 15, and we'd be delighted to do so because we know that of the people who do get laid off, a lot of them do actually come out of the big blue chips. And what the big blue chips say is, there's your redundancy, go and set up a business, stay on the business park, your job just got outsourced. You know, be an outsourcer, next to your former employer, we will continue to take advantage of your skills. And that's where Sirius wins, because by making space on the park for them, what we can effectively do is we can manage that shift in the recession. And that is our overarching strategy at customer level for the next recession. It's the reason why we haven't expanded up to 15% micro SME space at the moment, because we need that headroom in the estate for when it happens. What I can tell you on the ground in Germany, there is no sign of recession. What I can tell you is that tenant demand is extremely high. What is happening is the services industry in Germany is beginning to overtake manufacturing. So 10 years ago, manufacturing was the majority of what Germany did. Markets like Berlin in particular are introducing a lot more services companies. And what you're seeing in employment and what you're seeing in GDP is a shift between Germany being predominantly manufacturing to Germany being less predominantly a manufacturing country and more of a services country. But recession will come.
Can you elaborate a bit about how you avoid the voids? Because in the plan that you said, it must take some time, and during that time you must be, you know, losing income or not gaining the same income.
Look, let me give you a live example. And if you go back over our public statements, you'll see this is in the public domain over the last few weeks. We completed an asset in Bochum for €25 million a couple of weeks ago. We bought that asset for a 9% yield when it was nearly 100% full, because the major tenant, Pilkington Glass, are leaving in May of next year. Now, what would most property companies do? They would buy the asset, take a couple of months to get to know it. They'd wait till May next year and see, are these people really going, or maybe they might want a month extension or something like that. And then they'd wheel commercial agents in about June or July and start talking about what do we need to do to reposition this asset. That's not what we did. What we did on the day that we completed is we signed back to back 2 7-year leases for two separate companies to fill all of the Pilkington space and do it at a higher rate than Pilkington are exiting at. And by the way, Pilkington did respond by saying, can we extend? And we said, no, you can't. Now, the reason that we're able to do that is because of our platform. Because before we even bought Bochum, we were testing online and talking directly to companies already in our estate about, do you require space in Bochum? We didn't buy Bochum because Bochum was a good property deal. We bought Bochum because we were buying somebody else's problem that we knew how to solve before we bought it. Now, we had to look at 800 assets last year to buy 11. So I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it comes along every day, but with 250 people in the platform and a disciplined process by which to look for acquisitions, you can find those kind of opportunities. And what that means is that even though we bought Bochum at 9%, we underwrote 3 million of CapEx spend to cut the space up in order to help re-let it out. We're not going to have to spend that 3 million now. The answer to your question is, we take a completely different approach. We do not use commercial agents. We are far more proactive. And what we buy is we buy stuff when we've got things lined up to go into it, rather than buying it and hoping the market will be on our side and it will be worth more naturally in a couple of weeks' time.
Just more of an exchange rate question, probably something out of your hands, but what would be the impact on the share price and the NAV if, say, over the next couple of years, the pound, say, goes up by 20% against the euro? How would that affect your NAVs for the sterling shares and for the share price?
The reality is that the sterling price is a derivative of the euro. So we trade in euros, but we publish our price in the UK in sterling. By the way, we publish our price in South Africa in the rand. Now, the rand relationship is a lot more sensitive. Typically what happens when the rand goes up or down, that does tend to affect the rate at which Sirius trades that in South Africa. I'd actually love to tell you that, you know, when sterling goes down, that, you know, the share price goes up, but it doesn't. What seems to happen is London seems to be pretty ambivalent to movements in the exchange rate. But South Africa is more sensitive to it. And if you think about it, a lot of people are buying Sirius on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange to hedge against fluctuations in the rand. So you can understand why it would be more sensitive there. I don't fully understand why it's not more sensitive in the UK, but up until now it hasn't been.
Couple of questions, if I may. First of all, what are the typical lease terms you enter into with your tenants? I mean, in the UK, there are typically upward-only rent review clauses, and there may be break clauses. What sort of lease lengths and principal terms do you have?
Okay, so obviously Germany is very, very different from the wonderful property laws we have here in the UK. Just to give you a couple of facts, our average lease length is 3 years across 4,000 tenants, but it varies hugely. So GKN, for example, is a 10-year lease with a 5-year option. Porsche is a 7-year lease. Our top 100 tenants tend to be much longer lease length, as you would expect. And those micro SMEs, that long tail of over 1,000 micro SMEs, drags that average down. But the fact is, in the portfolio as a whole, the average lease length is 3 years. It's quite interesting that banks in Germany will offer you 1.5% finance for 5 to 7 years on a lease length of 3 years or less. That must tell you something about the bank's understanding of the ability of the platform to mitigate risk in terms of the lease length. In terms of the leases themselves, for micro SMEs and SMEs, we have standard lease clauses. For the top 100, you know, you don't walk into Daimler and dictate the lease. It's very different. So outside of the top 100, we typically have very simple clauses that say you're in, for example, a 3-year lease and your rent will go up at 2% each year, full stop. That is highly unusual in Germany. Typically what German leases do is what the top 100 try and negotiate, which is we would like to look at German rate of inflation measured by this mechanism over the last 10 years and take, you know, a median average and apply 80% of it. Now, we do get forced into that in some cases with the top 100, but with the rest of our customers, we say, look, we just want simple basics, things you can budget on, things we can depend on, and we're not interested, you know, in really clever mechanisms that are so complex to, you know, to work out. Nobody ever really settles them. So 90% of our leases have got simple percentage terms in them, and the top 100 vary, but unfortunately we are exposed in the top 100 sometimes to complexity, but that's typically for leases that are, you know, over €1 million a year. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
PIO World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.